Morning, everybody. Morning. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple, Candlemas to most people. If you are really traditional, it's Septuagesima. Let's just give ourselves some space to prepare ourselves for worship. So, Father God, breathe your Spirit into every part of our service and our worship this day. When we pray, grant that we may speak to you as a person speaks to their friend. When we sing, grant that we may sing because our only wish is to give you praise and thanks. And when we read your word, help us to hear and understand it. When we listen to the preaching of your truth, help us to receive it, to remember it and put it into practice. And grant that we may leave this place recognizable as those who have been in the presence of a living God. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with all that in mind, let's sing. Let's sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 645, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And the Collect prayer for today. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple, in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If you'd like to sit, we now have our readings from Scripture.
A reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way for me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring his offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers and perjurers, against those who defraud labourers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he is tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn before Mary preaches for us. So it's hymn 135, God is working his purpose out. We stand to sing.
Chapter starting at verse 22.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, to all, and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jesus. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And there the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. So how many of you have actually still got your Christmas decorations up? No, that's interesting. No, we haven't either, as have always come down at Epiphany. But in theory, Candlemas is the point when the Christmas season, the entire season actually ends. And that's when you take down your Christmas decorations. I'm not going to change. It's, you know, Epiphany is quite long enough for them. But I think probably the themes this morning that we can pick up from our readings are patience, perseverance, relief, and joy. And it's also quite interesting how Christian wisdom appears to come in the unlikeliest of packages. And so we're going to unpack this unlikely package to find the wisdom that is lying within. So the story of Jesus' presentation in the Jerusalem temple is one of the few examples that we have of his infancy. Obviously, we've got the nativity and we've got him at 12, but this is another one in there, and there aren't that many of them. And starting with that initial statement that Christian wisdom comes in the most likely of packages. If we want to grow in understanding and learn how to live out our lives as followers of Jesus, then we need to look for wisdom in unusual places and also to develop patience and perseverance. And certainly Simeon and Anna definitely demonstrate both of those. So first of all, from this, we can take that there is joy in waiting and through waiting. And that's something that's totally alien to us in our lives today, because we just don't do waiting. We live in an age of instant and unthought-out responses. We suffer from the constant pressure to respond instantly to situations and demands with little time allowed for thought or reflection. We can hit the delete button on our WhatsApp threads and get away with it, but a little more time in the first place may have avoided the need to do so. Simeon and Anna had both been willing to wait on God patiently, day after day, week after week, year after year, in the hope and expectation. Simeon had been promised that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He could not have known precisely what that meant, but his long patient time of obedient and prayerful waiting on God meant that he was tuned in to recognizing the infant Jesus, the Messiah he had been waiting for to appear. And then the aged Anna, a prophet who had lived in the temple, worshipping, fasting, and praying night and day for the greater part of her life, was now aged 84, and is also rewarded with that instant recognition of Christ, and starts to speak to everyone who is looking for redemption of Jerusalem and praising God. So this encouragement to wait on God was already centuries old by the time Anna and Simeon came along. We find in Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And this message of waiting on the Lord remains equally valid to us today. It's not usually a way of instant understanding, but one of slow and imperceptible growth in spiritual insight. And secondly, doubt is, it's okay to have some doubt. And I'm quite sure that both Simeon and Anna, during those long years of waiting, must have had moments of doubt. So they gave thanks to God and acknowledged that their salvation was at hand. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah, and he permitted himself to be guided that day into the temple by the Holy Spirit. Patience had paid off, and Simeon was aware of that and that God had not failed him, so that he could praise God and say that he could die in peace, a happy man. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Prophetically, he then said, "A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Even though Simeon would have had no idea of what this meant, he is actually proclaiming that this Messiah is not purely for the Hebrews, but for all mankind. And certainly that would be our interpretation of that. So where is the doubt? Well, Simeon and Anna carried with them the hope and confidence that God would not fail them. Doubt may well have clouded them on occasions during those long years of waiting, but their perseverance and prayerfulness held them firm and should give us encouragement too. Doubt is very often the precursor or prelude to great faith. Gideon in the Old Testament said, "If the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us?" before being used by God in a really powerful way. And then there's Job. He said, "I cried to you, God, but you don't answer," before receiving an amazing answer from God. And even Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me," before being embraced by the Father and raised to glory in heaven. It's therefore not unrealistic to believe that Simeon and Anna would have had similar moments of weakness and doubt, but they persevered. They carried on praying. If a strong faith is the house we want to live in, then doubt is the front door through which we have to walk. Through doubts will come a deeper faith, and I'm quite sure that Simeon and Anna came to understand that. Now, as I've already mentioned, the presentation of Jesus in the temple is one of the few that we have of Jesus' childhood. And there is really a reason for that, and it's a reminder that these Gospels are not intended as biographies. Instead, the stories we have are to proclaim the gospel and to undergird and strengthen faith in Christ. And they're also making theological points. Jesus was born a Jew among Jews. He observed the law of Moses, and his ultimate obedience was to his Father in heaven. His presentation in Jerusalem is tied to the specific requirements of the law of Moses, whereby 40 days after giving birth to a son, the mother is to bring an offering to the temple, which the priest will offer as a sacrifice so that she may be purified of her uncleanness. Also, Luke, quoting from the law, tells us that as the firstborn male, he is designated as holy to the Lord. Think of Hannah and Samuel at this point. The firstborn son belongs to the Lord in a special way and is dedicated to serve him. Mary seems to take the role of Hannah and Luke, through Luke, and Jesus that of Samuel. Thus, when Joseph and Mary present Jesus to the Lord in Jerusalem, they are in effect dedicating his life to God. Jesus will be holy to the Lord. He's setting the scene for Jesus' life to be dedicated fully to his heavenly Father. And that role is developed and unpacked through Luke's gospel. Paul speaks of Jesus as having been born under the law in order to redeem those who were under the law. Instead of being redeemed himself, Jesus will take by his death and redeem others. And he does this by taking on himself all our sins. Jesus will be the cause of many rising and falling in Israel. He will be both the stone upon which some will stumble, as well as the stone of salvation for others. As Paul writes to the Hebrews, that in sharing our flesh and blood through death, he destroys the one who has the power of death, the devil, and in doing so, free us who are held enslaved by fear of death. He came not to help angels, but instead to help the descendants of Abraham, and could only do this by taking on our form, making atonement, amendment for our sins. And going back to the point about Anna and Simeon's perseverance, Paul writes, Jesus was not spared temptation, doubt even, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. And in doing so, he is able to help those who are being tested. And that should be of great consolation to us in our waiting, our persevering, in our doubting, because we're not alone in this. Simeon and Anna appear as devout Jews awaiting the fulfillment of God's promise of consolation and redemption of Israel. These passages of Luke are drenched in the language of Deutero-Israel. Simeon and Anna thus become spokespersons for the salvation and redemption that's to come through Jesus. Simeon gets a glimpse of the salvation that one day the whole world, all flesh, will see, forgiveness of sins and deliverance from eternal death. That's the ultimate meaning of Christmas. The incarnation, God made man, of the Son of God. And Simeon and Anna are handing on to the next generations, to us, the story of God's love, God's providence. And it's the handing on of faith in God's covenant, of God's promise to be with his people. And as Malachi says in our Old Testament passage, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple. Simeon's words, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, proclaims to the world that the presence of God, that ancient promise and covenant of God with the Jewish people, is being handed on and given as a gift to the whole world. These words of Simeon sound almost like a sigh of relief, contentment. He had lived with that great hope of the Jewish people, that longing for its freedom, for the justice of God, for an end to the suffering and bitterness of their oppression. Yes, in him the words of Malachi have come to pass. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And here he is. Simeon's words are a true acclamation of faith. He knows nothing of what is to come. His vision is simply to see and recognize the presence of God. And it was this recognition of God in the Christ child which filled him with such peace. Now he could let go, but not before taking the Christ child in his arms and blessing him. He anticipates a rocky road ahead for the child, but that does not diminish his joy and sense of peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Like Simeon, we are invited to look beyond the bitterness of the past, the fears for the future, of which there are many at present, and shift our focus from the sadness of the present to the light and hope of Christ. This is what we have unpacked and can take away with us. Life is definitely uncertain, trying at times, and painful, but with flashes of joy and surprises, some very unexpected. And we should examine them in the light of Christ and measure them against the values of God's kingdom. As we live in the present moment, we pray that we may know the peace of Christ and that we may be given the gift of recognizing the presence of God with us, God for us, God within us, and God within others. We pray that we may have the perseverance of faith shown by Simeon and Anna, and remember, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't think that's an invitation we should pass up. Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church at this Candlemas time, we thank you for hearing our prayers. And firstly, we have a prayer for light in our world and in our community. At this time of Candlemas and the presentation of baby Jesus in the temple, we pray that his shining light and his teachings will replace the misery of conflict in our world. We pray that others in our own local communities of Penn and Tyler's Green may see, through us and our churches, the light of your love and care, as made known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. We pray for growth in our faith, in confidence that God will provide strength in our difficult times. We reflect on Simeon and Anna in the temple. We also should be joyful and thankful that Jesus has come into the world and we belong to him. And be ready, standing up for what is good and staying away from what is evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And now a prayer for our world leaders, especially our own. We pray once more for our leaders at this time, that they and the many global voters in 2024 will use their influence to create good in our world and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating conflict, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. We pray for the end of the brutal wars in Ukraine and Gaza, and the threats of new global conflicts, and the end of famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Now, need you ready to go? Just this little bit here.
We pray for those in our church and our community who are unwell or
convalescing.
We pray for those who are suffering physical and mental illnesses, lonelinesses, or grief, or facing new challenges. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Let us be kind with our responses to their difficulties. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for those on our notice sheet. Isaac Michael Rogers, his parents, godparents and family, and friends, on his baptism. Joe and Tim Oliver and Charlie, following their return from being abroad. Amanda Ricketts, undergoing more chemotherapy. Peter and Eve Nelson, who are unwell. The friends and family of dear Moira Evershed, who has passed away. Anik and the family on the passing away of dear Oliver. And in a moment of silent prayer, we also pray for those known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Should we say this one together, this last one? We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. We thank you especially for our Tiger Club and its leaders. May the Holy Spirit always us united with our families and loved ones, inspire us to share our Christian love with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? We affirm our faith by saying together the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us, that we might be saved. The love of God revives us, that we might call upon God's name. Seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. We share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 200, I Am the Bread of Life. This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. Lord, we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Sometimes we are not sure why we come. Habit, duty, the easiest option. Sometimes the hymns seem empty, the words are dull, and we don't really concentrate. Quite often our minds wander off to the Sunday papers or what else the rest of the day holds. But then, Lord, we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. Around us, people are both discovering love and losing it. Some are striding forward confidently, and others are walking on broken glass. Some are full of hope, and some are crushed and exhausted. And always, your burning and pressing beauty is here as we meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. In our deepest places, there are hidden fears and thoughts we admit to no one. Perhaps we can begin to see that nothing is unknown to the Lord, and that you always look with mercy and not with blame. Because here we meet you, Lord, in your love, in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. In this service, we come to break bread for our sin and pour wine for our celebration. We break bread for each other and pour wine for your kingdom. We come ourselves this morning to meet your love in the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. We know this because the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please sit or kneel for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this, our memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So we continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ. Heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, a gift from So we continue by saying the prayer after communion at the top of page 18. And we say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn 1237, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go. 1237. So we go to our homes with this blessing. May God keep you in all your days. May Christ shield you in all your ways. May the Spirit bring you healing and peace. And may God, the Holy Trinity, drive all darkness from you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.